White Death, 1949, Wyoming. I did not know, because that was the year that I was born, that between January and April of 1949, there was a blizzard that had never prior been recorded in any fashion worldwide up to that point. And there was literally a whiteout and snow buildup for 3.5 months. It shut down most of the state. And it's horrific, because they interview survivors of that event. Now, for those of you that understand increased electromagnetic frequencies in the air, which is all part of how they induce weather modification and weather attacks, you will hear, and I hope I'm quoting it close, it's close enough, pay close attention. They talk about how there were some rifles that were there during that event in 1949, and all of a sudden there were sparks flying out of the barrels for no reason. They didn't understand why that was happening. You will hear them describe the snow didn't feel right. It wasn't right. The snow was not right. You will see the millions of cattle that literally froze, and many horses that froze, and deer and pheasant froze. The indigenous American natives, Indians, that were on the reservation suffered the worst. I would watch this White Death on YouTube, it's a documentary, as soon as possible, and understand the use of weather weapons even then.
Yes.
That was a weather weapons attack. And for those of you that don't realize how long weather weapons have been used, been decades, 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 and decades.
On January 2nd, 1949, the first in a series of devastating blizzards swept into portions of Wyoming, Nebraska, Colorado, and the Dakotas. No one was prepared. Dubbed the Great White Death and the Storm of the Century, this was the blizzard of 1949. Because of bitter cold temperatures, the quality of the snow was unusual during the blizzard of 49.
It was a funny snow, a real small, granulated, hard, wasn't any flakes to it, but it's more like, it was kind of like salt.
That snow was so hard, it was like cement. In fact, some places, I understand, they had to blast it out because it was so hard.
Besides the wind, snow, and low temperatures, these storms also generated unique and weird phenomena.
So we had gotten up that morning to feed the cattle, and it was cloudy. And it just started lightning and thundering, and then it started snowing while we were out feeding the cattle.
I think one of the things that I remember the most about the storm, though, other than the severity of it, was the static electricity in the air. I'd never seen anything like it before or since. We had 6 guns and rifles hanging on our living room wall. They were all pointed the same direction. They were not pointed together. But there was a steady stream of sparks come out of those gun barrels for 3 days and 3 nights.
While we were shoveling snow, I happened to look up, and I turned around and told my dad, "Look up here what we have over our heads." And it was a perfect rainbow, with the exception of the fact that it was upside down and the points were up on either side, and the bow came down almost to the top of the snowdrifts.
Like that rainbow, the blizzard of 49 turned people's lives upside down as well. Those traveling home from the holidays in their automobiles were caught by surprise and stranded by the blizzard. Some pulled to the side of the road to sit out what they thought would be a short-lived squall. Others slid off the road into ditches or were stopped in their tracks by impassable drifts. There they sat, marooned for as long as 3 days. Some travelers carried extra blankets in their cars for emergencies. Others raided their suitcases and put on all the clothes they had. In desperation, some even ripped the stuffing from their car seats for added warmth. Many were without much in the way of food or water. As gas ran out and car heaters failed, their misery only increased.
The man was trapped in his car for 3 days. I think there was two or three other people in there with him. But he compared it to being in prison camp during World War II. And he said this was worse.
Other storm-imperiled motorists slowly made their way to roadside taverns, cafes, and filling stations. Rockport, Colorado was one such place.
Rockport, located about, I think, 15 miles south of Cheyenne, was a gas station and a nightclub, and they served food also, and a small facility.
365 people were stranded there by the storm, including 19 infants. People were sleeping on the floor, taking up every square inch of the tiny establishment. Kids were crying. Food was running out, and a makeshift latrine was set up in a utility room.
In addition to that, there was a Greyhound bus with all of their passengers. In this small facility, they were just jam-packed, and their conditions were miserable.
Eventually, supplies were parachuted in from Lowry Air Force Base in Denver, and snowplows and tracked vehicles eventually reached the victims. Like those in Rockport, most stranded motorists were finally rescued, but a few didn't make it.
My aunt and uncle, they were visiting, they lived east of Rockport, about 4 or 5 miles, and they went to visit their neighbors, which was about 3.5 miles away, and they decided to start home, and it was Sunday afternoon. And they got about 3/4 of a mile from the house, and the pickup got stuck. And a lot of storms blow over, you know, overnight. Well, they stayed and stayed, and then it got colder and colder, and so they decided that they'd start back. And they started walking back, and two neighbors survived the walk, and they said that my aunt and uncle were trying to hold up a blanket so the kids could walk behind it, and it just didn't work. And they went and went, and the kids couldn't make it. And when they found the bodies, well, my aunt was reaching down to on her knee to get the little girl, and she froze in that position. And my uncle was trying to hold up the boy, and they found him frozen in that position.